I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have seen thus far how the Lord has been patiently dealing with Jacob. He has been directing, he has been guiding and working in the life of Jacob. He still had to mold and shape Jacob. Slowly, Jacob's pride, Jacob's self-reliance, Jacob's arrogance have all been broken down. Up to this point in time, what we see concerning Jacob is that he has always depended on himself. Yes, even though the Lord has spoken in his word that the elder shall serve the younger, yet what we have seen thus far was that Jacob, together with his mother, Rebekah, took matters into their own hands, where they wanted to usurp the position of Esau. Yes, even though the Lord has promised that, the way they should have approached that was to trust in the Lord, to wait upon the Lord's timing, and the Lord will surely fulfill his will. But they were impatient. They wanted to take matters into their own hands. And so now, the result was that Jacob had to leave. He had to leave home. And he had to leave home to find a wife. And throughout this whole time, what we have seen is that the Lord is very patient with Jacob. He had to mold Jacob. He had to shape Jacob. He has to slowly break down Jacob's pride, self-reliance, and self-confidence. And what we saw the last time also was that even in finding a wife, Jacob was very eager to impress Rachel and Laban. I believe that what he did was improper towards the end, where the shepherds, when they were waiting their turn in order to water the sheep, Jacob, wanting to impress Rachel, just rolled the stone of the well away in order to water the sheep of Rachel. But the reason was that he wanted to impress Jacob together with Laban. And the Bible then concluded in verse 14, the last time, that he abode with Laban the space of a month. And so what we're going to learn today is we see that how the Lord has to break Jacob down. Yet in this whole process, Jacob must continue to trust in the Lord. Now this is also what we are going to experience in life. For each and every one of us, if there's still something that we have not surrendered, something that we are depending upon, something that we are holding to upon very closely, that we refuse to surrender to the Lord, the Lord has to work in his own way. And sometimes these ways that the Lord works in, it may be very painful, it may be very trying, but it will always be good for us. So what we're going to see today is how the Lord works and how Jacob has to continue trusting in the Lord even despite these very mysterious ways in which the Lord works. Now what we see in verse 15 is very interesting. Okay, the conversation between Laban and Jacob is rather strange, because this is really a very good example of passive aggressiveness. Okay, this is a modern lingo. You know what is passive aggressive? Okay, modern way of talking nowadays is that, you know, when they want to get something and then they don't want to speak directly, they use a very roundabout way of, you know, either telling something or saying something to get what they want. Okay, the young people, they like to call that pegro. Okay, it just basically means passive aggressive. Okay, and this is something that's very Asian. And the Asian culture somehow is like that. We like to talk in roundabout ways. When we want something, we won't just express that we want something. And when we don't like something, we don't just express that we don't like something. We try to hint to you. We try to express it in our body language. We make sure you get the message. Okay, but you get the message not through me spelling it out or speaking directly. And this is what you see over here. So now the Bible tells us that actually Jacob has been abiding and staying with Laban for about a month. Okay, and the reason why he stayed with Laban for a month was because he saw Rachel and he wanted to marry Rachel. Okay, and perhaps he was not as wealthy as his grandfather Abraham, because when Abraham found a wife for Isaac, immediately he sent together with his servant Eliezer various very expensive gifts for a wife. But in this case, Jacob did not have such benefits, so he had to work. He had to stay with Laban in order to work. And so now in verse 15, the Bible says, Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother. Now, very kind. You know, Laban was Jacob's uncle. But then now Laban seemed to address Jacob on equal terms. He says, I won't just regard you as someone who is far away from me, but you are my kinsman. You are my brother. We speak on equal terms. So on the surface, it seemed like Laban was speaking to Jacob on equal terms. Yet he says, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? Again, you notice that he seemed to be very kind. He says that you have been living with me and you have been helping me. Perhaps Jacob has been tending to the flock of Laban. He has been bringing this flock to find green pastures, providing water for them. He has been tending to the flock of Laban, or perhaps he has been helping out in other ways as well. So he says that, you know, how can I let you work for me for free? I should pay you. But you notice that one of the expressions that Laban used over here in verse 15 was that, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Even though, yes, you are my brother, you are my nephew, even though now I'm also asking you, what should your wages be? But don't forget, you are still serving me. You are still my servant. And so this is the very indirect way of that reveals to us, that shows us Laban's intention, Laban's cunning plans and cunning methods, where he has actually been trying to take advantage of Jacob. Now we are going to see that exposed more and more regarding the character of Laban, how he tried to take advantage of this circumstance, of this situation. Okay? Later he will get Jacob to work with him for 7 years. And then after that he will work with him for 7 years more. This has always been in Laban's plan. And what we see now is the usurper has been usurped. In the past, Jacob would be the one who would be deceiving. Jacob will be the one who will be coming out with all these cunning plans. He deceived his brother of his birthright. And then later, he deceived his brother and his father of the blessings of the firstborn. But now we see the tables have been turned. But nevertheless, one thing that we must remember, that throughout this whole account, the Lord was using each of these circumstances in order to mold and to shape Jacob. And here we can see that we must trust in the Lord. We must wait upon the Lord. We must hope in the Lord, even through very trying, difficult, and uncertain circumstances. Now, if you were in the shoes of Jacob, what would you have done? How would you feel? This situation is so tough. Now I have to continue serving Laban. No, perhaps Jacob, perhaps Jacob has been enjoying life. It seems like in his own home, he would not be used to hard labor. He would have everything taken care of for him, especially because he was favored of his mother, Rebecca. Now, this is what we know regarding Jacob, at least. So perhaps Jacob was not very much used to this kind of treatment, to be treated so harshly, to be treated even as a servant. This was a very pleasant and unpleasant circumstance which Jacob had to experience. But he had to trust in the Lord, knowing that even this trying circumstance is in the purpose and the will of God. God will use it for his good. And this is what we must learn. This is also how the Lord works in our lives today. There will be times, especially as we grow older, where soon we will no longer be sheltered. You know, growing up in Singapore, as I interact with some of the youths, and now some of them are, when they start work, there's this transition phase in their lives that they go through. And the young people nowadays are finding it more and more challenging to adapt to working world. I mean, when they grow up in school, secondary school, later tertiary institutions, poly, university, they are very used to a certain way of life, to a certain culture. And then once they start work, many of them, they get culture shock. And when they see what the real world is like, when they face with reality, some of them really feel that it is overwhelming. They are not used to these very trying and difficult circumstances. In one way, it's because, growing up now, the younger generation, we are rather sheltered. And I believe in the previous generation, when they are growing up, they already have to face a lot of hardships, challenges, right? In the past, the families are bigger. They will not have the kind of attention that children are receiving today. Because in the past, the parents, they may have 10 children, 15 children. So the parents cannot give the attention to each of these child, I mean each of these children, each child, right? So much attention. And so the children have to grow up, and when they are independent at a younger age, they are able to deal with hardships. They are able to deal with the difficulties and the challenges of life. But today the reality is that we are just more sheltered. The younger generation, at least, they are more sheltered. Right, they grow up with everything provided for. They have food, they have clothing, they have a home, they have education. They don't have all these struggles. And then finally, once they start work, it's so trying, so difficult, because suddenly this is the real world. Suddenly they have a lot of responsibilities. Suddenly the things that they do, if they fail, it impacts the life of others. It no longer just impacts themselves. And some really find it a challenge to adapt to these kind of changes. But do you know, whatever trials or trying circumstances that you may go through, sometimes it may be caused by people. In this case, for Jacob, it was caused by Laban. You are my servant. And some may feel this way, when they start work. Do they not sometimes feel like they are a slave or a servant in the environment that they are working under? Sometimes, they find and they face why their bosses are like that. The way the bosses behave. And yet, the Bible also commands us as Christians to submit to the authority that God has placed over us. It is very trying, it's very difficult. But can you trust that even such trying circumstances, such difficult circumstances is of the Lord? In some cases, some will try to escape. The moment they face with difficulty, they go to another place. But if you have such an attitude, you will keep going from place to place to place to place. And sometimes maybe we use the excuse, we say that, oh, this is not something that I enjoy. So they go to a place and then they face difficulty, maybe because the boss is very difficult. Then they go to a next place, another environment, they hope. But then now they have a good boss, but the colleagues, their peers, they are very bad. They always gossip, they always complain, and they seem to have an agenda against me. So how? You go to another place. Then after you go to another place, this work culture is also very bad. I don't like this work culture. Then you go to another place. And so there are some who keep moving and moving. But the problem is really not because of the things that are externals, but it's the problem of whether they can submit and trust in the Lord. In some cases, you can't escape. Just like for young men, right, when we go through army, it is tough. I mean, it's not as tough as the past, but, tough enough, for those who are going through army today. And then if it is tough away from home, right, then you have your superiors, your officers, the sergeants. Some of them have unreasonable demands. Then the training itself is tough. Then you are tired, you are frustrated, you are irritated. But you cannot do anything about it. I mean, sure, you can like call SAF hotline or something like that. You know, now they have all this SAF hotline, and then you can, you know, have counseling and whatever you have. But can you trust in the Lord even through trying circumstances? See, these trying circumstances, the Lord always has a purpose for it. In the case of Jacob, it was to humble him. It was to break him down. The Lord has to really bring Jacob low so that he can no longer trust in anyone but the Lord and the Lord alone. You know, at times the Lord may have to use these very difficult and trying circumstances also in order to toughen us up, in order to prepare us for the work that He wants us to do. Sometimes the Lord has to put us through these trials also so that we can turn to no one else. We can turn to nowhere else. But we will only look only unto the Lord. But the question is, whether you will turn to the Lord, will you look to the Lord, or will you still resist? The Lord uses trying circumstances. So trust in the Lord, even through these trying circumstances. Yes, it seems unreasonable, unfair, but trust in the Lord, even through these difficult circumstances. Now, this is we continue to see this now from verse 16 to verse 30. So, the very difficult circumstance in verse 15. Then, sometimes we also have to face with very difficult people. Okay, often these two come together. I mean, to deal with one is already difficult enough. But to deal with both difficult circumstances and difficult people is very trying. Sometimes they come together. From verse 16 to verse 30, can you trust in the Lord even when facing and dealing with very difficult people? And in this case, this very difficult person was the cunning methods of Laban. He was a deceiver. Look at this. Now, what has happened here was that the Bible tells us in verse 16 that Laban had two daughters, Leah and Rachel. Okay, Leah was the older daughter, Rachel was the younger daughter. And when Laban asked Jacob and said, "Now tell me, what should your wages be?" Jacob said, because he loved Rachel, he says, "I will serve you," in verse 18, 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughters. Now you look at Laban. Throughout this whole time, he never mentioned anything about the culture or the practice that he will mention later. He just simply said, "It is better that I give you Rachel than I should give another. Your request is very good. I'm so happy at your request. You know, I would want to give Rachel to no one else but just to you." So imagine now, how would Jacob feel? He must be so excited, right? So happy. Wow, why Laban is so nice. He's so good to me. So he says that it's better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another. Now abide with me. So Jacob agreed. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, but they seemed to him only for but a few days. Because Jacob loved Rachel so much, so he served so happily. Then now, on the night of the wedding, Laban gathered together all the men of the place and he made a feast. Now, this is again very deliberate. It was not a private secret wedding because it is a public wedding where there are witnesses. Okay? And now, he deliberately presented, he took Leah, take note of this in verse 23, and brought her to him and went in unto him. Now, apparently, in the culture in those days, in the wedding, probably the bride would be veiled. Okay, that's why Jacob was unable to recognize, or he was unable to discern who the bride was. And he only found out the next morning. Okay, but by that time, he had already gone in unto her. Okay, that's what the Bible used as a euphemism for a physical intimacy, okay, that he had with her. And then, in verse 24, Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid for a handmaid. And so now the next morning, when Jacob woke up, To his horror, he found out that it was Leah and not Rachel, as he expected. And then now he confronted Laban and he said, no, wherefore, in verse 25, the end, take note of this, wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? You have cheated me. You have deceived me. You have lied to me. Why have you done this to me? And Laban said, it must not be so. It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Then why didn't you say so? You did not present any objection. You did not present any resistance earlier when I requested for your younger daughter. But now you say, it is not the culture and the practice in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. And what can Jacob do now? Because everyone gathered for this feast, they were all witnesses to his marriage with Leah, when he thought that it was Rachel, but they are now witnesses to his marriage with Leah. Nothing can be done. He has been deceived. He has been cheated. He has been lied unto. Can you trust in the Lord even during such circumstances and when faced with difficult people? People even who will scam and lie and cheat and steal. You know, this kind of scammers are very common today. You can read about it in the newspaper. There's some who scam money. But it's quite frightening. Because recently even I encountered a person, a friend, who went through something similar. You know, sometimes when you read about it in the papers, it's quite a distance. You know about it. You see the warnings. It's something that is just a matter of fact. But until you know someone you know personally experiences it, then you realize how these scammers are really very cruel, very wicked people. And those who are scammed, I mean, of course, sometimes you know you may say that, you know, how can these people be scammed? There are some of them who are educated people, intelligent people. How can they even fall into that kind of position? But when they fall into that position, you really feel very sorry for them. But you look at some of the... So because this person who went through this experience, you know, it showed some of us this conversation, okay, that went on with the scammer. And the way they can talk, the way they can continue the conversation, just like a normal person. You really wonder whether these kind of people, they have a conscience or not. It's very, very hard to lie. And to lie without any sense of guilt, any sense of remorse. To deceive. But this is very common in our time. And I do not know whether you have faced such circumstances before. Maybe where you are scammed, but sometimes you may not be scammed by someone you do not know. The worst would be when you are cheated, you are deceived, you are betrayed by people who are close to you, people whom you know. When you face difficult people, in this case, to be lied to be betrayed, how would you feel? How would you react? How would you respond? Now, for some, they may be scammed of money. For some, they may be scammed of time. For some, they may be scammed of their energy and their emotion that they have invested into this. But whatever the case is, those who have experienced this know how painful it is. But during such time, can you still trust in the Lord? There are times where we are going to face with very difficult people. And by difficult people, you know, it's not just merely where they are unreasonable. You know, there are unreasonable people, but also people who are cunning, people who are manipulative, people who are deceitful, people who are out to hurt you. They say that this world is a dog-eat-dog world. This world is a cutthroat world. There will be people who will be out there just to succeed at your expense. And they will do anything possible just to be ahead, just to get ahead, just to get what they want. These are the people that we are going to face in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ reminded his disciples and warned his disciples in Matthew chapter 10 verse 16 that we have to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. But no matter how much we try, at times, you know, we try to be discerning, we try to be careful, we still may fall prey to these people. What happens now when you face such circumstances and face such difficult people? Can you trust that the Lord also can use these people to mold you, to shape you, to humble you? And can you trust that there's also a purpose even in this circumstance that you face? Now, in the case of Jacob, what did he lose here? He lost first the marriage to Rachel. He was forced to marry Leah. Later, he was allowed to marry Rachel. And Laban said that you fulfill the week. Okay? You have to fulfill her week. That is, there was a culture, there was a practice in those days. It was their culture. You know, where after the marriage, it would be like their honeymoon phase. Okay? Fulfill her week. This 1 week where Jacob was supposed to be with Leah. And after that week, then I will give you, Laban said, okay, I will give you also Rachel. Okay, so 1 week after he married Leah, then he married Rachel, and he agreed to work for 7 more years after that. Okay, so 7 more years on top of the initial 7 years with which he worked for, okay, where he worked for Leah the first time. So a total of 14 years. He worked for 7 years for Leah, and then after he married Leah, then he fulfilled a week, 7 days, and after that he married Rachel, and he agreed to work for 7 more years after that. So now a total of 14 years. Now here, what Laban gained was 14 years of service from Jacob. And it's free service. I mean, you may say that it's not really free because, you know, he gave his daughters. But it was free because he would have given his daughters most likely anyway. Because that was what Jacob came to do. Right? He wanted to marry Rachel. So most likely he would have given Rachel's hand in marriage anyway. But he had gained here in the process 14 years of free service. He took away 14 years of Jacob's life. And what we learn over here also is this lesson on waiting on the Lord's timing. You know, when Rebekah first sent Jacob away, probably she thought that it would only just be for a short while. Okay? Probably she thought that she would still see him one more time. But she would not realize that by the time Jacob would return home, it will be about 20 years later. Now here, about 14 years has elapsed. Okay, but there will be a few more years. Okay, probably when you put the timing together, at least maybe about 20 years before Jacob returned home. But this is a question of the Lord's timing. See, sometimes we have our own plan of when things will be, what will happen in the years to come. You know, I'm not sure whether you have ever met people before who plan. And they plan their schedule. They plan the schedule for the week. They plan the schedule for each day. Now, it's of course good to plan. Okay, then you would be disciplined. I mean, you plan, but you must be disciplined also to follow your plan. But then that's when you make full use of your time. But there are people who have also grand plans for the years ahead. You know, what they want their life to be. How they want their life to unfold. Sometimes, you know, when I teach the younger children, okay, I like to ask them also, what do you want to be when you grow up? Okay, then they have a lot of strange ideas. Okay, for some, you know, from things like Air Force pilot. Of course, you know, I don't want to dismiss their dream because maybe really he wants to be Air Force pilot. He can really be an Air Force pilot. Okay? They want to be things like Air Force pilot. You know, some have very ordinary ones. I'm not downplaying them. Okay, fireman and all things like that. Some they do not know. But nowadays also, you know, some primary school kids, you ask them what they want to be, they also have things like YouTuber. Okay. And some, they also want to start their own shop. They want to start ice cream shop and things like that. And they have a lot of all these plans. You know, sometimes as adults, when we look at these little plans that children have, we say, oh, it's so cute. Right? Do you really think that you're going to start an ice cream shop? You know, do you really think that you're going to be a YouTuber? I mean, of course, being a YouTuber has its own problem, right? For Christians, I don't believe that this is some profession. Okay, I don't know whether you can call it a profession or a career that we should pursue. I mean, to be like an influencer, okay, that you take photo of everything you eat and post on Instagram and all these kind of things. This is not something that a Christian can pursue, but these are some of the things that, you know, young children now, they want to be. And we look at some of these plans, we look at them, sometimes we laugh and we say, you just finish your final year exam first. Okay, you just do your maths first before you think about starting an ice cream shop. You do not know what starting an ice cream shop entails. I had a friend who actually is a chef. Okay, he owns a restaurant. And he actually shared that owning a restaurant is very different from being a chef. He says that if you love cooking, okay, don't own a restaurant. Because owning a restaurant has a lot more other things to do than just cooking. Okay, if you love cooking, you just either stay at home and cook, right? Be a housewife, or you cook for a restaurant. Because if you own a restaurant, he has to take care of supplies, he has to take care of employment, he has to take care of accounts, okay, he has to take care of renovation, all the practical things that he never thought needed to be done until he got into it. I mean, of course, maybe for him, he's happy doing that, but sometimes we do not know. You know, we have plans, we have a future that we want to craft out for ourselves, but we do not know how long it takes, how the future unfolds. And that's why we should just trust. We must just trust the Lord for each step of the way. I mean, when God looks at us and our plans, how many years we plan for this? How many years we plan to do this? I finish my study in how many years and do that? After I do this and that, we plan all these things. When God looks at us, I wonder, is it sometimes like how we also would feel? I mean, it's just like how it would be when we look at little children having their plans. I mean, of course, we know that God is infinitely more wise than us. God sees everything. Even for adults, when you look at children, we cannot understand everything. Hey, their plans may indeed come into fruition. But when God looks at us and our plans, then He sees us, you know, thinking these things, planning for our future, 5 years, 10 years. Does it not cause us to realize sometimes how foolish, how short-sighted we are when we see it from the way, in the perspective of how God views it? This is a lesson on timing. 14 years may seem like a very long time, but in God's perfect plan, God knows best for Jacob. It may seem like wasted years, but in God's perfect plan, it is not wasted. It's the same for us. Maybe we have faced difficult people, difficult circumstances. We have faced wasted years. But in God's perfect plan, everything has a purpose. It can be to humble us, to mold us. It can be to show us the person of who God is. You know, when we wait upon the Lord, and when we trust in the Lord's timing, one of the most wonderful things that we will experience is the person of God. And that's if we trust in the Lord. If we wait upon the Lord while waiting for the Lord's purpose to unfold, we murmur, we complain, then of course we will not be able to experience the fullness of God's mercies and grace. I mean, we will be able to still experience God, perhaps His chastisement or His discipline. We'll still see God's faithfulness, because the Bible tells us that even though we may be unfaithful, God will remain faithful. He cannot deny Himself. But how much more wonderful it will be if in this time of waiting, we remain patient, we remain quiet, we wait upon Him, we trust in Him. In the meantime, we serve Him. This will give us a great opportunity in order to hear His voice, in order to see His strength, to see His might, to experience God for who He is. Can you trust in the Lord even when you face with very difficult people? even when you have to face with this time of waiting, that was what Jacob had to learn. Trust in the Lord, even when you face with difficult circumstances. Trust in the Lord, even when you face with difficult people. Trust in the Lord, because the Lord is merciful. Now, from verse 31 to verse 35, the Bible suddenly shifts the attention and the focus to Leah. Because now the Bible tells us that what happened was that Jacob, after he married Rachel, he loved Rachel very much, and he neglected and he forgotten about Leah. Now, I believe that this was not right. Okay, whether Jacob was right to marry two wives or not is another question. But regardless, whatever the case is, and he married Leah. Now, whether Laban was right to deceive Jacob or not is also another matter. Of course, I believe Laban was wrong. Okay? I also believe that Jacob should not have taken two wives. But that's not the point now. Over here, the reality is that Jacob married Leah. He should have undertook this responsibility of caring for Leah as well as Rachel. But what has happened was that perhaps because of his bitterness, his unhappiness, he cared for Rachel, he neglected Leah. But what we see over here is now the focus, right? The Lord shifted his attention to Leah. Even though Jacob has forgotten about Leah, Jacob has neglected Leah, the Lord remembers. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now remember that in the Old Testament, childbearing is closely tied to the Lord's blessing. Now this is no longer the case for us today. Okay? But in the covenant promise in the Old Testament that God has given to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, one of the covenant promises and the blessings included was also that of fruitfulness, of childbearing. So in the Old Testament, childbearing is closely related to blessing from God. Not so today anymore, okay, under a new administration. But in the Old Testament now, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. And this actually shows us God's faithfulness, God's mercy, and God's graciousness even unto Leah. Even when Jacob has forgotten about Leah, Jacob neglected her, God remembers. And you know, each of these names that Leah used here is very meaningful. Now, the meaning of the name is actually explained in the verse itself. Okay, for example, when you look at verse 32, she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Surely the Lord have looked upon my affliction." Okay, the word Reuben here in verse 32 describes see a son. Okay, so that's the word see or look. Okay, and ben. Okay, the word ben is the meaning of the meaning of which is son. So that's why you have like Ben Yamin, son of my right hand. So see a son. Okay, it's very meaningful. Now remember also one thing, that in the Old Testament the names often have significance. Okay, see a son. And then later, another name in verse 33, Simeon. Okay, that is hearing, to hear. Similar from where we have the Shema. Okay, Shema, Simeon, to hear. That means the Lord has heard. This is a testimony. Leah cried to the Lord, called upon the Lord, and the Lord heard. The Lord has seen, has looked upon her affliction, and has given her a son. Okay, then now in verse 34, Levi is joined. Okay, now this was the hope of Leah. I have borne him three sons, therefore was his name called Levi. Levi means to be joined. It was a hope that Jacob would join unto her. But in verse 35, Judah, okay, the last one, fourth one, Judah was praised. I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah, and she left barren. Now, this describes the faithfulness of the Lord despite man's unfaithfulness. And this was the testimony that Leah could bear, even despite the neglect of Jacob. Now, this is an important lesson. Trust in the Lord. In the case of Leah, she also had to learn to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord because the Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. Now, for us today, we do not know how the Lord, sometimes through these very difficult circumstances, how the Lord will unfold His will for us. But we must trust the Lord. You know that Leah over here was also a victim, in a way, of Laban's deception. I mean, she had no choice at all. Right? She was just used in such a manner, okay, so that Laban can get Jacob to work for him for 7 additional years. Right? Initially, Jacob only wanted to work for 7 years in order to receive Rachel's hand in marriage. But through this cunning scheme, Laban got an additional 7 years. But where was Leah in all this? How would she have felt? But even though she was neglected and forgotten, the Lord remembered. Can you trust in the Lord? The Lord to remember. The Lord to see. The Lord to hear. The Lord to know. So that you can praise the Lord. Jacob still has a lot of lesson to learn. The Lord still has to humble Jacob. And what we see here is that God even has a purpose, even in the deception of Laban. God will use these very difficult circumstances and this trying circumstance which he has gone through with a very difficult person in order to mold and shape Jacob. Can you trust in the Lord that what you may face is in the Lord's plan, in the Lord's purpose? People who may have forgotten you, people who have misunderstood you, the difficulties that you face is all in the Lord's purpose to humble us, to teach us dependence on Him, to show us how faithful and how good He is. Will you continue to trust in the Lord? Trust in the Lord that even when you have been deceived or hurt, the Lord has a plan for you. Let us pray. O Father in heaven, we thank Thee that as we study the life of Jacob and we see the things that are unfolding in his life, we know that this is a testimony and a reminder to us of how Thou art God and Thou art still molding us, shaping us, working in our lives. O Father, we pray that Thou will help us to patiently submit and surrender to the way Thou will work in our lives. We know so often we are impatient. So often we want to murmur and complain. So often we are unable to understand. But we know that as we trust in Thee, as we depend and rely on Thee, Thou will show us and we will understand it by and by. So teach us in the meantime as we see how Thou work in our lives to trust in Thee. Help us, O Lord, we pray. We ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.